Today on Real Radio.
There are people in the ministry, in the pulpit, that lead people astray. And Jude says there's a place reserved for them in hell. Nobody else can sit there. Can you imagine? You're in big trouble. You get sent to hell. You deny Jesus all your life. And you're finding your seat in hell. And they go, these are reserved. But people who pollute the word of God, reserved for them.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by Paul to a younger pastor named Timothy. We're looking at chapter 1 of the first letter where Paul puts down into words his mentoring of Timothy. The presentation is taken from verses 5 through 17 of chapter 1. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The ministry should be one of love, and it should flow forth from a pure heart and from a good conscience and from sincere faith. And that word conscience is what you're doing for Christ. Is it sanctified? Is it in the will of God? Do you know it? If it is, you're free. You are free. And I tell you, I probably get judged more than anybody in this room here because I will not take my orders from any man. I will not do that. I can't. I have a mandate from God. I've got to listen to what the Lord is saying. If 10 people are saying to go left and God has spoken and I know it, and he says, no, go straight ahead. I've got to say, you know what? The Lord's saying to go straight. And I take the heat. But you know what? That's the way it's got to be. I've got to have a clean conscience before God and before all men about those things. And so do you. I had a brother the other day tell me, you know, I feel kind of bad. I said this to my wife and she got all upset. And I go, well, what was it you said? And he quoted scripture beautifully. But boy, I mean, I could almost feel the flames coming out of his mouth when he quoted it to me. And I said, well, I think you ought to go back and let her read it herself and you ask for forgiveness on that one. Well, you know what had happened, people, is that he was laying down at night and his conscience was not clear. And I think it's a very good thing if all of you can throw away Melanta and all this other stuff, if you purpose it in your heart today to live before God with a clear conscience, before God and man. You know what? You can sleep at night like a baby. If you've ripped people off and you've manipulated this guy to get this and schemed and scammed to get that, and you lay down at night and your heart's going, and God's going, you're blowing it. You're not following my ways. Your conscience is polluted. It's condemned because of the things that you've practiced. Paul says, man, in the ministry, you had better be founded in love. You better have a good heart and a clear conscience, and then sincere faith. And I love this word. It simply means undefiled. And here's the meaning behind it. Paul says to Timothy, have sincere faith. When you would go down the streets in Ephesus, they had little gods of everybody. And you would go down and you'd go, let me see. My love life's a little down, and so I'm going to get a Venus statue today. And you get your little Venus idol, or you get your Diana, and you had all these different idols in Ephesus to buy. And so what you would do is you'd shop around, see? And you'd find your little idol and you go, oh boy, that's the one I want. And here's the trick. Nobody would want to buy an idol until the sun came up and was blazing hot. Isn't that weird? You know why? Because people would take idols that were little gods that were cracked. They would have like a little flaw and they would heat up wax and pour it into the crack. And then they would hide that crack with wax. And so they would have this little statue there and go, oh man, here's a bargain. You can get Diana for $3, you know? And you think, what a deal. And you take your little Diana home, or you put her on the dashboard of your donkey and you ride back. And the sun begins to bake on the little Diana statue, and wax would start to flow out. That's what that means. Hey, it's not sincere. It's not without wax. Paul the Apostle is telling Timothy, your faith, it needs to be sincere. It needs to be without wax, Timothy. It's got to have a pure, true commitment. It's got to be clean. It's got to have God's faith in there, and that alone by the Word of God. And so often we have people telling us, well, you've got faith, but you've got to add this to your faith. You've got to have this. And, well, you don't have enough faith. Paul tells Timothy, have sincere faith. Faith without wax. And I'm so glad Paul didn't say, Timothy, have big faith. We all would have to pack up and go home. He said, have sincere faith. Faith in God, trusting in the Lord, leaning on Him in His Word. Timothy, you want your ministry blessed? Have faith in God. Have sincere faith. From which, verse 6, some have strayed, having turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. This is a very sad and tragic thing. These people had a craving in their heart. Do you see there in verse 7 that word desiring? That word desiring is not the word that is used when you desire to do something godly. It is an unhealthy lust to be up front, to be under the spotlights. Desiring to be teachers, oh, come to me. But the horrible thing is, people, as Paul is warning Timothy, in the ministry, you may not recognize these people. They look great. They function fine. They have all the earthly talent. They can talk up a storm. They can sell you the shirt off your own back. And it's a very tragic thing, because there are people that are propelled, and a lot of people enter the ministry because they get saved and they come into the ministry because they have found an audience, and they're simply stroking their ego by being in the ministry. And these men were doing that there at Ephesus, lusting to be teachers of the law. Why? Because the grace and the Word of God was too convicting. They couldn't understand the things. Understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. Listen to what the Scripture says about this in Jude 12 and 13. These are spots, these men, spots in love feasts that you have. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water. We know about that in California. Carried about by winds, late autumn trees without fruit. What a disappointment. You wait all year and here's this tree. You've been watering it and nurturing it, and then nothing. No fruit. Twice dead. That cracks me up. Not once, twice. They're super dead. Super dead spiritually. Pulled up by the roots. Verse 13 of Jude, raging waves of the sea they are, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of hell forever. False teachers, false prophets who come into churches that are holding up the Word of God, and they try to lead people away. Charles Spurgeon says this concerning Jude 13. Reserved seats in hell, says Spurgeon. Imagine that, reserved seats. One commentator says this, on hold for them. The seats are on hold for them, waiting for them, as if no one else is qualified to have their judgment but they. Isn't that awesome? There are people in the ministry, in the pulpit, that lead people astray. And Jude says, there's a place reserved for them in hell. Nobody else can sit there. Can you imagine? You're in big trouble. You get sent to hell. You deny Jesus all your life, and you're finding your seat in hell, and they go, these are reserved. These are reserved for some, well, I'm not going to say. But people who pollute the Word of God, reserved for them. But we know that the law, verse 8, is good if one uses it lawfully. Man, how I wish this was the motto of the ACLU. But we know that the law is good if it's used lawfully. What an organization they are, ripping people off like they have. I heard this. It really cracked me up. Maybe you'll like this. ACLU, Mike McIntosh said, they're not American, they're not civil, they're taking away all of our liberties, and I never did like the union anyway. But the scripture says that we know the law, if it is used right, good, it's in a lawful manner, it is very good. What is this business about the law? The law is to drive us to Jesus Christ. These men were preaching the law. They didn't even know what they were talking about. It couldn't save anybody. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's the message that Paul is instilling into Timothy. Timothy, preach the word of God. Preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. Preach grace. Yes, use the law to bring sinners to repentance. But when they reach repentance, when they see that they've done wrong, cover them in grace. That's the meaning. We are never to use the law to obtain holiness. And so the law is good if it's used in an evangelistic manner. Knowing this, verse 9, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, the insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane. And this is incredibly terrible. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers is the translation there. For manslayers. For fornicators. You cannot be a Christian and be a manslayer. You cannot be a Christian and be a kidnapper. You cannot be a Christian and be sleeping in bed with somebody else. You can't. Galatians chapter 5 says, know this, that a fornicator, an adulterer, a liar, a drug user will not inherit heaven. I know that when we talk and you can say to me, I'm a Christian and I don't know any different. You can snow me easily. You can't snow God. There's going to come a time when everything will be open and naked before him with whom we have to do, the Bible says. Verse 10, for fornicators, for sodomites. You can't be a sodomite. You can't be a kidnapper. You can't be a liar or a perjurer. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, gee, Paul, I think you covered them all. Those are pretty heavy. I would have liked him to put a false shepherd or a false pastor in there. But I think it's understood. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Isn't that precious? Now, people, we've come through this part, and I can't wait to get to verse 12. Paul, up until now, has been laying down the law, these men who want to preach the law and try to get people to get saved by the law. He just makes the statement there that all of us, basically, if we think the thought Jesus said, we've become an adulterer, everybody's guilty and condemned by the law. Paul, you can almost sense Paul rushing through this portion of Scripture to get to verse 12, all the way through to verse 17. And this is good news. Listen to this. Breath of fresh air. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. First of all, he says, I thank. And I love this. He's telling Timothy, man, these whoremongers, these people, these perjurers and these kidnappers, and you can almost, Paul's like getting dirty while he's talking about it. I think Paul begins to think about himself. I think Paul began, as he's talking to Timothy, man, these people, they outside of Christ and they're a mess. And then Paul begins to think, you know what? That's exactly how I was. I think Paul begins to realize, holy moly, that's where I've come from. I recognize that address. And he gets to verse 12, and verse 12 is one of the most precious things as it goes through to verse 17. He starts to think about, but in Christ, I'm in Christ, I'm saved. Paul's an old man. And he begins to realize what God has saved him from. And I love this portion of Scripture. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah, Paul goes into a praise. I thank Jesus who has enabled me. What an awesome word this enabled word here is defined as. It means to be endued with power, to be made operable, to be made useful for the master. God has enabled me. He's plugged me in. God is my power. God has become my strength, Paul is saying. Timothy, when God calls you into the ministry, you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to do it, Timothy, in the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. But this word enabled, to be endued with power. In the ministry, we had better have power of the Holy Spirit. If we are called, we will be enabled. Yes, there will be times of growth as this fellowship's going through. Yes, there will be times of defeat. Yes, there will be times of war in the Spirit and of setback and trials. But God has enabled us. We will be endued with power to see the work all the way through. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth." We are to never do the work of God without the power of God via the Holy Spirit in our lives. Never. And I don't know how personal you take the Bible, but in your life, in your business, in your home, as you're raising your kids, do you seek the power of God daily to get you through that day? Every time I trip up and don't do that, my day is a ruin. My day is a wreck. I'm frayed. I'm running around out of control because I haven't sought his enablement, his empowering. But Paul blesses Timothy by saying to him, "Timothy, you know what's happened in my life? Tim, I'm at the end of my pastorate. You're at the beginning of yours. Timothy, God's called me. And Timothy, God has enabled me. And he'll do the same thing to you, Timothy. Christ has enabled me because he counted me faithful." Now, it might sound like Paul's boasting here. He's not boasting at all. This word here is the word pistos in the Greek. It means to be a believer, a faithful believer. Do you realize something, people? We are so hard on ourselves. You say, and I say, "I can't do that. I'll never make it." Jesus is looking at you, and he's seeing you as one that is trustworthy to commit a ministry to. Do you love him really? Do you love the Lord in your heart? He will not reject you. Do you want to serve him? Do you want to just minister for the Lord? He will enable you. He has counted you faithful. And that is so dangerous to say this morning because it just goes right off your head and out the door and out in the wind. Do you realize if we take hold of what he's saying here, we'll go nuts for God? If God is true, he's enabled us. If he's enabled us by his Spirit, by his person being in us and empowering us, he has counted us faithful. How do you know? How are you going to know if you're faithful or not if you never step out? He's telling Timothy, "Come on, Tim. God counted me faithful. He'll count you faithful. Go for it." He's encouraging him along. That's encouraging to hear. Putting me into the ministry. From my own heart, man, I tell you this morning, I was sitting here during worship this morning. I don't even understand what I'm doing here. Maybe you're thinking the same thing, but I have more doubts than you do. I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I go through so much doubt and so much pain and so much anguish. And man, I come up here and, I just killed him. I'm going to go home. I'm going to quit. I'm going to call Pastor Chuck. "Chuck, get somebody out here who can help these people." And I go through fits of depression. And when I have a hard time studying or I have a hard time teaching, it's God's way of keeping me in his hand, I guess, so I don't fall out. But I tell you, it's painful. And I would have never counted myself worthy or faithful to be here. But God in his wisdom, it's just strange how this comes about. But when you seek the Lord, man, God will lead and God will guide. All along, we're going, "Wait a minute. Get somebody else in here. Chuck and Lonnie, well, we need, we're blowing it. We need to get people in here to lead these people in worship. I come up, boy, you don't want to be around us. God, I'm killing these people. I spent an hour of their time. I killed them. With the word of God, they're dead now. And it's so discouraging being in the ministry. I get so bummed because I'm not bringing to you what I want to bring to you. There's almost like there's a well and you can't get the bucket into it sometimes. And you can see it. And it's so frustrating. And I can relate to what Paul's saying here about that. He put me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, I was. A persecutor, I did that. I persecuted people about being a Christian at the beach. I remember mocking them. And an insolent man. Now, this is incredible. Paul begins to focus on his past for a moment. I was a blasphemer. He says, I was a persecutor. He's going down the little, his little roller coaster is going, it's going down. And then he comes to this word, I was an insolent man. You know what that word means? He was violently, pridefully arrogant to the point of brutality. It's a very violent word. He persecuted the church. He would beat people. He would stone people. He was responsible for the death of Christians. And the horrible thing is, this word in the Greek means that he was a sadist. A very sadistic form dwelt within him. It means this in the Greek. When Paul saw Stephen getting stoned with rocks, in Paul's heart, he went, yeah, I love it. It's like a Ted Bundy kind of a attitude. The more blood, the more pain, the more he liked it. That's the Greek word that applies to Paul. Where are you this morning? Are you outside of Jesus this morning and you have determined to stay outside of Jesus because you've done too many wrong things?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy. It's a look at chapter 1 and verses 5 through 17. And we'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've just gotten underway with this series through 1 Timothy because we recently wrapped up a fascinating series in the book of Acts. The New Testament narrative, commonly known as Acts of the Apostles, can arguably be referred to as the Acts of the Holy Spirit or the infancy of the church. To a great extent, it also highlights those events related to the conversion and ministry of the author of many New Testament letters. In fact, to better understand Paul's letters, including the one that we're reading right now, the book of Acts serves as a valuable guideline or historical roadmap. So to hear the series from the beginning, we've made it easy. We've condensed the entire series all into one MP3 CD. And our offer is the same. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Here's our phone number. By the way, it's toll-free. 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can do it the traditional way. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just mention it by name, the MP3 CD of the Book of Acts. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.